Phone lines are now open, so you can call from wherever you are.
Okay.
And Zoom, yes, you can join us through Zoom. The Zoom number will be accessible on the screen, and you can send in your questions through SMS or WhatsApp. Thank you. We have questions coming in already. And this is, God bless you, Brother Moses. I'm so happy for the opportunity to ask this question. I'm a believer of the present day truth. It's been about 10 years or more since I've been listening to your preaching, and about 10 plus years, I had quite a few dreams about you, and so badly wanted to see you when you came to Canada. But I'm hoping to see or talk with you soon. My question is, I do have a home church here in Canada, and it's linked up to the church back home where I used to worship, where I used to fellowship. All right? Okay, regarding tithes, should I be halfing, like 50% of the church back home and the church I currently attend? Please give scriptures where necessary. Thank you. The name is not really stated.
Okay. They didn't put his name, so
The name is
I don't know
looking.
whether you are brother and sister. Okay, brother and sister.
I believe that statement, that situation has actually arisen. Some end time message churches, Ghana and Cameroon, like that. I did hear something like that, having such controversies. When the person is outside the country and still feels you have to be sending some part of the
Where
tithe.
you feed from is where you're supposed to pay your tithe, because you see, the purpose of the tithe is to support the ministry. God designed this means of financing the work of the ministry. So, send your tithe to where you are feeding from, so that you can support that ministry. To halve it and send it somewhere, that means you are feeding from the two churches. Now, payment of tithe goes beyond, because I am a member. I was born again here. Oh, I got born again there. This is my root. No. It is where you are feeding from. What you do is, if you tithe, and of course, if you don't touch back home, you have any need to support them in any project they are doing, of course, you send offering there. But your regular tithe goes to where you are feeding from. How can you send a tithe to a church that you are not feeding from? Your pastor is your shepherd. The pastor is the sheep, keeper of the sheepfold. So, and then he said, bring ye all the tithe that there may be meat in my house. So, take note of that, please. I don't know. This tithe thing is a lot of controversy following you. Pay tithe to where you are feeding from. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. I believe that should answer the question and make it very clear to you. You take it to the storehouse where you are feeding from. God bless you. Okay, we have another question. Sister Maka from Rivers State, Nigeria. Shalom, Pastor. Thank you for giving us this privilege. Please, sir, most of the churches around us are still in error, and bread is not everywhere. If we are asked to continue with our churches and the error continues, and the Bible says that two cannot work together unless they agree, Amos 3:3. So what can I do? Since the same Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, that we should not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Sister Martha from River State.
No, you are correct. But if you say pride is not everywhere, then how did you know us? We are everywhere. But I know you mean fellowship among other brethren. The truth is, this is what I call a new move. It's a new phenomenon. It's a new move. For the first time, people are hearing a gospel, and they are not hearing about an evangelical activity in their environment, but through the television. But we thank God for this timely technology, that in real time we can still fellowship together. But very soon, because it's just beginning, you know, very soon, in your locality, as it is everywhere, you will soon discover other people, other believers that are in the same establishment that have left the erroneous places. Because of the benefit of fellowship, I always say, take your time to leave where you are. Make sure you leave to be somewhere else. In the absence of somewhere else, our bread is better than none. But you know better than to participate in some of the things that you do while prayerfully you're looking for, because it's where two or three are gathered. If you can find two more people, you don't need to be in any place of peril. And then you come together, you connect to the Bright TV, and in the absence of our broadcast, the two of you are having fellowship. And fellowship continues first with the Father anyway. You know, the spiritual thing. So I understand. But I can assure you that the same way you watch us, maybe in River State, and you think you are alone, the same thing, churches are springing up now. Just during the week or so, I had a call last week from Yola, and they are gathering in Yola. In fact, they have even moved, they have even bought their own land.
Wow.
And it's all online. They came together. Mm-hmm. And then once we know, we give address, the phone numbers to people to locate them. Mm-hmm. They have now moved from the little sitting room they sit down. Mm-hmm. People are adding, the church is adding,
mm-hmm.
and then they have now moved
mm-hmm.
To a place. Mm-hmm. And we have them in Kaduna. In fact, in Kaduna, we have about four different churches in four different locations of Kaduna Metropolis. Kaduna is a big town.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have in Jos all online. We have even in Cameroon, we have them everywhere, even in Ghana. We have them in everywhere. I don't think they're alone. Even in Ogun State, they are close to Lagos. Many towns. That's why we always say, wherever you are, you let us know, we'll link you to other brethren. And you gather in somebody's sitting room. In Cotonou, you're in Paraku. Paraku is about 6 hours from Cotonou in Benin Republic. They're gathering there with Innocent, the pastor. And in Togo, they are gathering. They are everywhere. They started, he thought he's alone. Oh, there's another one. Oh, then three of them, they gather. And then they make noise around and people know they are there.
Amen. All right, God bless you. And let's know you are not alone, definitely. God is with you and you can always reach us. And we always connect with anyone or any center or any fellowship you see around you. God bless you. All right. So let's keep the questions coming. Okay. We have a question from Brother Wesley. Wesley from Gombe State. It says, Shalom, sir. Please, can you help me understand Romans chapter 2, verse 8 to 10? Because I found it difficult to understand these verses while viewing it from the point of the divine agenda.
Well, okay, Brother Wesley from Gombe,
mm-hmm.
he asked this question through Brother Weston in Jaws. Mm-hmm. Brother Weston passed the question to me, and I think I have answered him.
Okay.
So okay. I think that question is settled.
Okay. So let's move to other questions as they come in. Okay, we have another one. Shalom, Pastor Moses. I'm here to thank God for giving. Using you rather to heal me on Monday 31st of May 2021. That's last Monday.
Last week Monday.
Yes. Doing the program Ask the Pastor. When you were about to end, you started praying and asked us to place our hands on the screen. You mentioned my chronic stomach and cardiac problems. Instantly, anointing consumed me and the whole sickness disappeared. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who had given us Moses of our time to liberate us. Fire on, Son of the Most High. You are hidden in Christ Jesus, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Remain rapturable in Jesus' name. This is from Brother Ukachukwu from Imo State.
That's right. It's your faith that God was honoring.
Amen.
Because it shall be according to your faith.
Amen.
I know there were some word of knowledge.
Yes,
that was somebody that had a problem like that.
Yes,
and the Lord honored his faith and healed him. And may your healing be permanent.
Amen.
And maybe because you are able to send us a testimony, there are others too.
Yes.
We have such testimonies regularly. At the end of the service again today, I hope I will remember to pray for you. Are you watching? It will be your turn to be healed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That brings us to remembrance of the scripture. Where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, he's there in their midst. And it's not just a physical gathering. It's because he's omnipresent. So wherever you are, as we study the word, the power of the word definitely will be made manifest. And healing is part of it because it's a children's meat. All right, God bless you. Thank you for sending that testimony. Let's go on if there are other questions as they come. Okay, Sister Linda from Ghana says, Shalom, Pastor. Please, I would like to know if a man who has not paid his wife dowry be a partaker of the Lord's Supper, and also if that same person can operate any gift of the Spirit in church. Because in my church, my pastor says such a person cannot take part in the Lord's Supper and cannot operate any gift. So I want to know, is it biblical, Sister Linda from Ghana?
Well, the truth is, any pastor will take that stand, not whether he can pin it to a verse, but as a way of letting know that we are not encouraging you to stay with a woman you have not paid your bride price. He's just stopping short of telling you, don't come and worship here. Because as far as he is concerned, you are an unbeliever. And he wants your soul to be saved. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So to say, can he partake of communion and this? Why will he live with a woman? Let me say it very wrong. He's a fornicator. Why will I know somebody is a fornicator and allow him to come and sit down and take communion with me? Why will I know somebody is a fornicator and instead is giving me a message? I will tell you the spirit that is talking to you to give me a message. Why is that spirit not telling you that you are a sinner? Go and correct it. So you have a genuine gift, but your character is devaluing that gift. And so a pastor will take measures to force you to go and make a correction. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. And that. I don't think there's any other way to be more plain than that. All right, Brother Joseph from Makurdi. Brother Joseph, Shalom and God bless you.
Shalom, brother.
God bless you. You can go ahead with your question.
God bless you. So my name is Brother Joseph, the pastor of Brother Assembly Makurdi Church.
You're welcome, Brother Joseph.
Thank you, sir. Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
So we have just started a fellowship in Makurdi here, and there was a pastor that invited me to go and minister in his fellowship. So when I ministered, there were some issues and the church was destabilized. So the pastor has left his fellowship to come and stay with us, and when he was about to come, the Lord said, I should tell him not to come. And after I told him that, he still insisted that he will still be fellowshipping with us. And I'm not really comfortable with his time, but I don't really know what to do for that. So I need more understanding, sir.
Brother Joseph, God bless you. Let me quickly, for the sake of our viewers, I make a clarification. When you say you are Brother Joseph, the pastor of Brother Assembly, Makurdi Church, somebody will think that you are the branch of our church, the Brother Assembly in Makurdi.
Yes, sir.
You are not our branch. We don't have branches anywhere. Yes. So let them know that. But that is why you say you are Makurdi Church. Yes. But there are so many people that decide to bear our name for reasons best known to them, and there's nothing wrong with it, as long as you can defend what Grand Assembly Church also stands for that you're identifying with. And that is how it should be. But you are free to take any name. It is not the name you bear that matters. It is what you stand for that matters. But those of you who are our cover, like I told somebody who sent the question from Port Harcourt, you are gathering there, and I'm happy to hear that many of our followers are responding the way you are responding. I'm happy that we have somewhere in Bakudi where we can direct people to. God will bless you, and God will prosper that ministry. And it is for this reason that I give my phone number to all the ministers. Now, this is a ministerial issue, not a doctrinal issue. So, if you send me, you have my personal number.
Yes, sir.
Now, you just send me a text after the program. I will give you a call, and then I will give you my counsel. God bless you.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, Brother Joseph.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. All right. We can always go on with calls. And okay, we have another question. So it's Shalom, Pastor Moses and the Bride of Christ Worldwide. Romans 8:26-27. My question in the text above, the Holy Spirit is praying for God's people. Who is the He who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit in verse 27?
Romans chapter 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth their hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Your question is, who is that He that searches the heart? The subject matter here is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches the heart. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. God is a Spirit. Now that is another mystery of the workings of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will. The Spirit of God that dwells in you knows exactly what is expected of you. So remember that God Himself has a principle. When God has a principle, one of the principles is He can't move for you if you don't ask Him to do that. So, but He's also a merciful God. So sometimes His mercy will project, and then He will come and cause you to pray the way you ought to pray, so that He can act in answer to your prayer. That's all verse 26 and 27 is explaining for us. God bless you.
All right, the question still continues from the same person. Question 2, who is the Holy Spirit talking to?
Answer.
Okay, and question 3, what do the answers teach us about the person of God?
I've answered that.
Acts 2:41. Was the 3,000 souls baptized of water or the Holy Spirit? I know it was the Holy Spirit. Is God everywhere?
That question, the 3,000 that were baptized, that's Acts chapter 2.
2 verse 41.
Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Which baptism is that? It was water baptism. It's clear. He told them to go and be baptized, and they were baptized. And He told us to go and preach. He that believes and is baptized. So it was water baptism. What's the next question?
I know it was of the Holy Spirit. Is God everywhere? So see, confirm it. I believe that He is in His word, and wheresoever two or three are gathered in His name, He will be in their midst. Meaning, gathering in His name is where He is. Some say He is even in hell, an occultic gathering. Please, sir, share more light on this. This is coming from the Emirates. God being in hell and also being in occultic darkness.
When you said God is here by knowledge. God sees everywhere. That's why he's God. God hears everything. That's why he's God. God is aware of everything. So if he is not there to see what you are doing in the occult, how will he judge you? He's there to see all the evil you are doing that man cannot see, but he sees all. So nothing is hidden before God. So he's everywhere. Remember that the occult, the people that are in the occult are his creatures. He created them. Satan didn't create them. So he is mindful of, if he even created Satan, wherever Satan is and what he's doing, God is aware of it. That is why he's omnipresent. Okay. And omniscient, he knows all things, he sees all things. And because of that, he is everywhere. Now, the scripture that says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. What he's actually saying is, anywhere the name of the Lord is glorified, he will be there. To glorify himself among the people.
Okay. All right. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes. That's it. And I believe, okay, we have a call. Our brother Victor from Port Harcourt.
Shalom.
Shalom.
God bless you, Victor.
Yeah. Hey, Shalom. God bless you too, sir. Yes, I have some, I think about two or three questions. One of them is, what is the difference between what Simon the Prophet did in Acts chapter 2, verse 18 to 19, compared to what the pastor did today when he came on for impartition? He came on for impartition to register, and then they call one by one and begin to do.
What's the question? Which question are you asking again? Because in that scripture, the sorcerer, from verse 18, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that whosoever lays, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now the response of Peter, he said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Then he said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So what's your question?
To receive the gift. So we also have a picture that a lot of people in some ministries, they receive or impartation, and they call it the gospel, that is impartation. So is it not common the same thing?
No, I condemn it. I condemn that. I condemn it. And what they are doing is exactly what Simon the sorcerer was doing. That because he said, he told him, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. The gift of God cannot be purchased with money. Freely we receive, the Bible says, and freely we give. It's a free gift. And no human being can give you any anointing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that gives. So it's wrong. I don't know where they see it. I know one scripture that they may be making reference to. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12.
Romans 1, verse 11 and 12. Yes. I long to see you.
This Apostle Paul telling the church in Rome,
that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift.
You see the impartation? That I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. That's why they hold. So come for impartation. But they forgot that verse 12 says something. The purpose, what is supposed to achieve?
That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you.
So it is about coming to impart knowledge so that we can have the same faith. We can operate together in the same faith, the same doctrine. So spiritual impartation is actually sharing knowledge, sharing revelation, and not take it more, then you fall down. No. It's just one of these things. That's another spirit. Another gospel. Another Jesus. Nothing like that. And people pay for it. You see, ignorance. That's why I preach a gospel, the message I titled Anointing for Sale. And I brought all this up. It is wrong. God bless you.
And then, number two. Sometimes when you're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, apart from that, we've never done it when we try to create the ministry of William Simon. Looking at we all agree about John Wesley and Martin Luther, and the Pentecostal age of the 1740s, William Simon, the other two that God's to divide. The Holy Spirit defended. So, what are the perfection now is in the seven golden seven candlesticks, which is common with every end time message believer. The seventh candlestick will have all over the picture for Abraham on top, his name. And if we want to do with this rightly dividing the word of truth in this rapture of spirit that has been formed, we need the power to put William Small in that position on that candlestick.
That Brother Victor?
Yes, sir.
Brother Victor, on a very serious note, let me ask first, let me just know you a bit. You are calling from Port Harcourt. You have been in the end time message?
Yes, sir.
You've been a follower of the ministry of William Graham. Was it through our ministry?
No, I've been in the ministry before I met the
Bible. How long ago did you were you in the message before you knew us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How long were you in the end time message before you met us?
That's about 15 years.
Before you met us?
Yes.
And you were in Port Harcourt?
Yes, I just came to Port Harcourt not too long. I've been in Edo.
In Edo. Brother Victor, you are meeting an end time message preacher that is not a follow preacher.
That's true.
You are meeting Brother Moses talking to you here that works on his convictions. And that is why this scripture is popular to us, with us here in this ministry. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm trying to see if I can get you a quote that I came across not too long ago. I put down here. I hope I can see it quickly. Now, there is a preacher by the name of Brent Tracy, and this is what he said, Brother Victor. He said, "Your beliefs act as a set of filters that screen out information that is inconsistent with them. You do not necessarily believe what you see, but rather you see what you already believe. You reject information that contradicts what you have already decided to believe, whether or not your beliefs, your prejudices are based on facts or fantasy." Unquote. But I think, did you hear that quote?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember William Graham preached a message that he titled "A Thinking Man's Filter"?
Yes, sir.
You know, he borrowed that sermon topic from Billy Graham.
Yes.
Fine.
I didn't know it, but if you make reference to it, that was where I see.
Yes.
He borrowed the message from Billy Graham.
Yes, it was Billy Graham that preached that message. Now you know Billy Graham was an evangelist, and so
yes.
You know he they really know how to get some of these sermons topics that hit, you know, the heart of the listeners. Now, the problem we have, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, the problem we have is the same problem that the denominations have. What that ministry came to achieve, I'm saying it because we are having listeners from all over the world. You know, they hate me. Enter message believers, these old people that have carried.
Yes, sorry, if I have to talk to you, sir.
Yes,
I have to talk to you. You know, when I came to the pastor, I tried to blend with some of the ministers here. And by the very popular minister here in Tobacco, I met before I came for the last program, the Family Deliverance Program.
Oh, you have visited us.
He said, the Brother Moses you are following now is not the Brother Moses we used to do. The Brother Moses you know now, you are following now, has fallen away. And to the county, that was the last day I went. I don't talk to him again.
My brother, Brother Victor, because we're on air and many more people are waiting, let me just quickly tell you this. If you I would rather stay and be right with God than to have the accolade of men. We the same thing that the denominations are guilty of is the same thing that the intermediate believers are guilty of. What are they guilty of? They refuse progression of revelation. They have built a wall around themselves, which is what God sent William Branham to stop. But the devil raised carnal people, and then they use the same quote like the denominations have done, and then they will not go any further anymore in revelation. How can you say that? Rapture has not taken place. William Branham is not the end of the divine agenda for the rapture. God took him away. God can take his workmen away, but his work will continue. And I want you to note that William Branham is not our standard. Our standard is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, watch all of them. And I'm happy at the testimony they are giving concerning me. That the Brother Moses you know now is not the Brother Moses that you know before. And if your conversion does not bring such testimony by people who know you, then you have not yet met with the Lord. Because now, how do they know me? Who am I now? Let them bring Bible and challenge me. None of them is able to come. I even offer, come, let's go live on the television and come and dispute me live. You have dropped the Bible. You are holding on to, you know, the quote. Even when those quotes go contrary to the scripture. So you have no, you don't know what God has done to raise this ministry that I am leading now. It is to pull out people out of this error. And then they move with the Holy Ghost. And he gave us this. The scripture he gave me when we established this television 8 years ago is Isaiah 11 verse 12. To gather the outcasts of Israel together. So raise them and answer. I didn't understand until much later. And God is shining his light and the people are seeing it and the people are getting revived, getting restored, and salvation is, you know, getting clearer and clearer. The mystery of redemption, the divine agenda is getting clearer and clearer. And as it is in the Bible, we don't come with the empty words of man's wisdom, but we come preaching the word with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. For the gospel is not in words only, but also in power. And we have a total package. If there is any ministry that is the standard or the closest to the ministry of William Branham among all his followers worldwide, is this ministry. Because that's this true. Is the ministry that has made this Bible to be alive. And people are getting converted. People's eyes are opening. They have decided to become a cult. They have become lepers. God showed me this in 1990. That this message has become lepers. And that he will use me to cleanse it. And thank God it came to pass. Brother Victor, I am not seeking approval from any man. And I don't have apology. I don't have apology to any intermission preacher. My ministry is not for them. My ministry is for those who are predestined to be part of what is going on now. They have stopped in 1965. I am progressing. God bless you. Now, the main question now, sorry, I didn't answer your question. I hope I'm not taking too much of your credit.
No, fine.
Now, listen very well. Listen. Now, in the placement of the seven-star messengers, listen very well. In the placement of the seven-star messengers, I don't know about the placement. But I am looking at an agenda. Now, listen. Brother Victor, you can hear me.
I can hear you, sir.
I want to be sure you are hearing me. Now, listen. I caught the picture of the church in Mark chapter 4, from verse 26, parable of the growing seed. If you catch that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, our concern is that the seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost, when did it die? He died in 83:25. Every intermessage believer knows that, correct?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Now, when he died, it was the program of God for it to die. Now that it is dead, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, what did Apostle Paul tell us is the order for the rapture? The rapture, he said, the Lord himself will descend with what? A shout. Now, why are you shouting? You are shouting that it should come, and that is the beginning of the seed that died to come, and that is the third seed. That is only the black horse rider in Revelation chapter 6. That is why, if you look at that third seed very well, that is the seed that we are under. Now, you see it? Now, it has four stages of until it goes to the rapture. That is the restoration ministry. Now, we teach that restoration began with William Branham. It's wrong. The shout began with, no, the restoration began with Luther. The restoration of the three works of grace that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. The three works of grace. That is the shout, the pull from the dark ages, the pull to come out, to form again all that was destroyed, to come back to the apostolic doctrine. He started with the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear, then the fruit, four stages. And he said, as soon as the fruit is formed, then he takes a sickle. That is the rapture. So, now we will now begin to look. Who are the four men in this age that fulfilled these four different stages? We saw Luther. We saw Wesley. Then we saw Simon. Then we saw William Graham for the perfection. So I am satisfied with that. If you go to the seven star messenger, it's God that knows them. He knows how to bless them. But for restoration, which I belong, this is where the restoration started because I'm a product of the restoration. So, and this is clear in the Bible, but because they have taught this thing wrongly, and who are you, Moses? Where did you come into the message? Well, who are you? So, and then, of course, you know I'm a black man. If I were a white man, you know, if I were an American, you know, or some European with a white skin, oh my. there would have been a big followership now. But that is the truth. But that is
what it is.
And we are having revival all over the world. For the first, nobody has propagated and popularized in this period of the ministry of William Graham like I have done. None. But I place him differently from the way they place him. And that is the problem they have with me. And many of them know they are wrong, but to correct it, they are too proud to do that. Let them stop telling you, like I used to tell this Pentecostal. You people say William Graham was so. I say, he's wrong with what? Tell me the doctrine that he preached that is wrong. They will not tell you. And he started his Bible and started preaching some other thing. I said, like what? I remember he preached. He said that Godhead is one God, not Trinity. Is he wrong? That speaking in tongues is not the evidence of it. Is he wrong? And all the errors they are in. Brother Moses, now he was with you. Yes, I was following you people before. But when God opened my eyes to see something, I have to follow him and move ahead. And I owe nobody that apology. But my prayer is that those who are sincere, they will see it and they'll humble themselves and say, Brother Moses, but you don't even have to let me know you have seen it. Because I'm not looking for followership. You know, if I'm looking for followership, I know how you go about it. But I'm here to preach the truth. There are many people that have adjusted. Many have adjusted. And they are following us. And if they don't follow, the true seed of God in those their fellowship, we should live and look for where there's the free water of life that they will drink and have life. God bless you.
Amen.
So study that parable in Mark chapter 4 very well.
Yes. Thank you very, very much, man. Thank you. You'll be around in the early days that meet with them.
I would love to see you personally. Let me just shake hands.
All right, I'll be around.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Victor. Go on a short break to take time to actually digest all that has been spoken. Stay tuned. We're still on Ask the Pastor. God bless you.